God does nothing on earth without putting a man in place first, a man of God first. God had to deal with Saul in his 15th chapter. And what God did was, God had his plan already set up to deal with the Amalekites. His way. Everybody say his way. God always has I learned it from Apostle. God always has a certain way that you have to do things in the earth realm. And if you don't do it a certain way, then God's will not going to be done accurately, precisely, know the word I'm using, accurately, precisely, like he designed to be done in the earth realm. And he gave Saul some accurate, precisely, instruction to deal with the Amalekites. He wanted to rid the Amalekites because they had done much evil to the children of Israel. Now God used his prophet, Samuel, to give word to Saul. I know you're all familiar with the story. And he gave Saul these instructions how to go about doing it, told him to slay, I'm not going to go through the whole story, slay the Amalekite, kill them all, I mean, the infant, everything. Annihilate them. Sound like some cruel, some rude instruction, but that was God's way of dealing with this. And you might not always understand the way God deals with things, but then that'll make you God if you did. But God has a unique way and a certain way he does things to get things in the earth realm to get his will accomplished a certain way. I'm understanding that more and more as Apostle preached this. The certain way. It has to be done a certain way. Everybody say a certain way. Now I want you to see some things. I got some words I want to define here because we're going to deal with the word submission. We're going to deal with the word obedience. But we're also going to deal with the word rebellion. All these words going to be explained in this chapter. All right? Now, listen to this now. Submit. You might want to write this down. Submit means to yield, resign, or surrender to the power, will, or authority of another. Sometimes we get that confused. Sometimes people say they're submitted, but it seems like they're confused. Then there's another word, obedience. It means to comply with a command or rule of duty prescribed, the performance of what is required by authority. I'm going to read it again. To comply with a command or rule of duty prescribed. In other words, already lined up. The performance of what is required by authority. So obedience has something to do with performance. That means a carrying out of something. Are you with me? Now, here's the point I want to get to. Here's what you need to understand here, where I think most people get this lesson confused on obedience and submission, authority. Because listen at this. There's an outer working and an inner working of both of these terms, or both of these words, submission. There's an outer working, and then there's an inner working. The outer working sides with the outer man. You hear me? It sides with the outer man and wants it to fit to his way of doing things. I mean, I can explain that. The outward submission. It'll submit as long as it don't cross my plans. Apostle, you can schedule what you want long as I don't have anything going on that day. It's submission, all right, but it got to fit into your paradigm. That's not God want. That's not what God want. I saw a term I'm going to use that Samuel used when he was correcting Saul. Down in the 15th chapter here, listen to this term he used. Let me find it here. Let's see. I'll find it here. Go down to the, which verse is this? Let's see. I got to find it because you're not going to understand it until I show you this term here. God used certain terms And these terms are for a reason, because they help us to understand a little bit better. But here it is, the 22nd verse. 15 and 22. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? It may not seem like a term here, but here's the term I want to use that might fit you. You heard what I just read, right? Had the Lord delight. What do the Lord prefer? That's the term. Another translation said, instead of this, what I just read, it said, Saul, what do the Lord prefer? Not when the Lord gives a command and you want to do it one way and God want to do it another way. Ask yourself a question, what do the Lord prefer? And forget all about, because sometimes people get the man mixed up with God. And sometimes people can't understand God for the man. And sometimes because they can't see God in the man. And they think just a man speaking, but man speaking through God. God speaking through man. Y'all wasn't going to help me correct that up. God speaks through a man. God speaks through an apostle. And a lot of times, apostle will give us instruction. I heard him say it many times over the years. He said, unless I change something, how many remember that? Keep doing the way I say do it. Now that's like a law for us. That's a law. Whenever an apostle sets something up, we don't change that until he come back and change it. Now, if we change it, that means we're doing or submitting or obeying according to the outer man, according to our own will. You see, and whenever you do it, people don't like this word, but whenever you do something according to your own will and it's not as prescribed by God, they don't like this word rebellion. But sure enough, it's rebellion. Because I'm going to do it the way I see fit, because this looks like it don't make sense the way we're doing it here, and we're going to do it like this. I don't care what apostles say. You might not add that part to it, because you got too much respect for apostle. But that outer man, just don't care. He says what he wants. She says what she wants. And they do it the way they want to do it, regardless of authority. Now, I'm glad there's nobody here like that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But the way apostle teaches is because he's developing a strong, firm, mature church. And strong, firm, mature church take pastoring and it takes correction. And you just can't be afraid to be corrected. You just can't be afraid to get your feelings hurt. You just got to keep doing what God said do. And you know, it's for your good. Correction is for your good. Might not feel like it at the time. No, if somebody tell me correction feels good, they're lying. Correction never feels good, but it's for your good. God trying to get something in you that he can't get in you no other way. God trying to show you something, put something in you that you can handle what's coming around the corner. God trying to put some muscles where there's no muscles, some strength where there's no strength, some fortitude where there is no fortitude. God got a way of doing it. See, we haven't really understood God's mind. And when God does something, God is looking at the future beyond the future. Right. Amen. Amen. Now, let me tell you about the two sides now. The outer working side is sides with the outer man and wants it to fit to his way of doing things. The inner working sides with the inner man. Everybody say inner man. Inner man. And wants it to fit into God's way of doing things. You see it? You see it? And I'm gonna tell you what comes with the inner man. When submission comes through the inner man, even if you try to divert a little bit, that inner man on the inside go to scratching on the inside. Say, that's not right. That's not right. You didn't handle that right. Get that right. Make that little adjustment in your heart. Because you know, sometimes something, some instruction given to do something, and then you don't totally agree with it with the outer man. And, you know, that outer man, he deal with some stuff in his head. And these thoughts come. Anybody ever had thoughts come? And they're not always the right thoughts. And these thoughts are make you anti-submission. These thoughts will make you think against. These thoughts make you think somebody hurt you, somebody out to get you, somebody out trying to make you feel bad, somebody trying to demote you. These thoughts. And you got to deal with those thoughts. Well, they come from the outer man, but the inner man, when these thoughts come up, the inner man say, he checks those thoughts and says, that's not of God. Cast down the imagination. Get back into submission. Repent. Get that thing right now. See, that's the working of the inner man, and he helped you to submit properly. Nobody submit properly without the help of the inner man. Because we all got to deal with this outer man, this flesh, these feelings, these emotions, these people that are going to tell you you will not be doing all that. Am I telling the truth? Yes. Amen. Now, watch this now. Watch this. Look at Proverbs 16:2. Proverbs 16:2 is going to kind of tell you or give you understanding of what I'm saying about the outer working of submission. The outer working of submission, it'll get you right out of the will of God. Outer submission looks so good. What do you mean it looks good? It looks good. It looks like you're doing all the right things. It looks like you submitted like everything else. Pastor, I'm with you. Apostle, I'm with you. Yes, let's go with this thing. Inside, boy, you that head, and you're grumbling on the inside, and you're trying to figure out how you can get out of this thing and still save face. And still not letting nobody know that you're not all the way into this thing? Yeah. Saving face is something before people. Make it look like you submitted before people. And it looks good. It looks good. Now, you in Proverbs 16:2 yet? Look what it says. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's it. Out of man. But the Lord weighed the inner man. The Lord weighed the spirit. That was God look at. I don't care how obedient you look on the outside. Because obedience, submission, and obedience are totally different. And I'm explaining before we get done. See, you see, obedience is an action. Ronald, go take this and move this over here, and I go and move it and bring it over in that prescribed place. And that's an action. Did it look like I was obedient? Yes, because I moved it. But nobody see what goes on in my heart. Why you couldn't get somebody else to move the doggone thing? I moved the thing last time, but you can't see that. That you can't see that. But God weighed the heart. God weighed the spirit. That's the part God deal with. God don't deal with how good it looks. Oh, he's so humble, and he's just moving that thing. He does. He's just a humble child. But inside you, like dead man bones. I'm telling the truth. Because I know what goes on in the outer man, because we all got an outer man. You don't feel like doing everything the way it's supposed to be done all the time. No, not at all. You know, sometimes you deal with your children, you know. And for some reason, this generation is smarter than everybody in the whole wide world. You have done it 365 times. And that's not the way you're supposed to do that, Dad. You got a better way. Amen. All right. Now listen at this now. Now we're still dealing with the outer submission and the inner submission here. One submission can be head action. You know what head action is, huh? You know, you're being led from your brains here, from your understanding. One submission can be head action and the other heart action. See, there's two different submissions. Some people think that's just one submission. No, one could be inwardly, one out. One could be from your head, and the other one can be from your heart. All right? Now, here's another one. One can be outward man, the other, the hidden man of the heart. I'm saying the same thing over and over. I'm trying to get you to see something here. One wants it to look good on the outside, and the other wants it to look good on the inside. You know, don't care what it looks like on the outside, because I'm not concerned what people think. Some people get caught up in what people think. Man, forget what people think. I want to please God. I don't care what nobody thinks. I'm going to please God. I'm not going to lose my relationship with God, my apostle, to please you. I told the apostle a long time ago, nobody better not do nothing in front of me they didn't want pastor or apostle know about, because I'm going to tell. And I don't care what you think about me. Call me a tattletale, Uncle Tom, Angel Mama. I don't care. I'm going to tell. I sure will. In a heartbeat. Are you a tattletale? Yes, I am. Because I don't care what people think. I want to obey God. I want to please my man of God. You know why? Because I know you're hearing from God. I've had word that he's spoken to my life, changed all situations totally around. And I'm not saving faith. I don't have to choose what people want me to choose. All right? Now, let's take this other one now. I call it head submission here. Head submission can fake submission. See, I'm saying the same thing. You know that, huh? I'm repeating the same thing because I want you to see it, because sometimes it's easy to get caught in this trap, in this snare, and you can get like going down through a cycle. You can do it so long, you get in a rut. You ever travel the same rut all the time? You can let the wheel go, and your wheel just follow the rut. And so what happens, people just do it and make this submission a lifestyle. And they wonder why they ain't receiving what they're supposed to get from God. Because they think they submitted, but they only head submitted. They only fake submitted. And because there's too much rumbling going on the inside of your heart, and you're not obeying your heart a lot of time. I'm telling the whole truth. And what this does is enable us to get to a position where God say go left, Terry sing that song, and we go left. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said go right, and we go right. With no grumbling, with no scratching on the inside. See, God hears the scratching. Whether you feel it or not, sometimes we just ignore the scratching. What scratching? The scratching of the Holy Ghost. He will try to scratch you on the inside and let you know that you're going the wrong way. But I heard this word the other day. You become desensitized. I think that's a good word. Become desensitized to submission, and you just get like you follow the whole game. Apostle, any old dead fish can go with the current, but if the real live one that got to go upstream, it takes some tenacity. It takes some pushing. It takes going against some people and some ideas and some thoughts. Yeah, it all ain't the devil. You see it? It all ain't the devil. It's sometimes we get stuck in our own ways. And sometimes we got to get out of our own ways. And, I mean, we don't want to change. You know, some people get up, they got the same schedule every day. Get up in the morning, they pray maybe 15 minutes. They go clean up. And they drink the morning coffee, they read the morning newspaper. You might have some extra stuff, but they got the same routine over and over and over and over again. And when something pulled them out of that little routine, it messed their whole day up. I'm saying sometimes people get caught doing the wrong thing. And when they want to try to do the right thing, it's hard. Just like change your eating habits. It's, when you've been eating wrong, it's hard to eat right. You see, I've been eating long, so wrong, I don't want to eat right. Amen. Now, am I telling the truth? Listen at this now. Head submission can also be fake submission. It can even look good and can probably persuade some. You know why I say some? That's people. I ain't talking about God. You can't never persuade God that you're in this thing all the way. I'm in it all the way. You know, some people say, I'm with you. I'm with you. The Lord, the Lord sent me here. Shala-ba-ba-ba-sa-ta-ta. The Lord said, I'm with you all the way, Apostle. And when he needs you, he looks for you. You might be gone. Well, I thought the Lord said, you're supposed to be here. Till death do we part. And we need you. He put all this effort training you for 20, 30 years. His whole life had been put into you. And then just when he trained you enough to be an asset to him, you go. You know, I got trouble with that. Figuring that out. I think generations of family should be within the church. When God calls you, your family, your children, and their family, and their children, and their family, generations. When God plants you. You got to be planted in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, look what else head submission says. It can even go through the motions. And listen to this. It can even speak submissive words. Now, I'm just throwing these things out because these are the things that we deal with on the inside that we don't discuss it with other people. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have no conversation with us. Somebody say, oh, man, I'm not really submitted like I'm supposed to be. But that's those little conversations you have with yourself. You and the Lord and the Holy Ghost in your quiet time, the Lord said, you know, you're not following the apostle like you're supposed to. You're not in the vision like all the way like you should be. And you know it on the inside. And you know you can turn the fire up a little bit. And you know you can do better. And the Lord talked to you about doing better. But see, these conversations you don't just hold openly with nobody, but you and the Holy Ghost talk about these things. And that's I'm just trying to throw these things out because I'm a real person too, and I know as a person that Satan will throw thoughts at you, and he'll slam thoughts at you. And if you don't deal with them, guess what? They're going to deal with you. And that's why casting down the imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against what? The knowledge of God. All right? Now let's look at heart submission now. Heart submission. Heart submission cannot be fake. Oh, I love that. It can't be fake. It may look good before men, but its true goal is to please God. You see that? It may look good, but that's not the important part of heart submission. You don't care if it looks good or whether it don't look good. But the most thing is you're concerned that, man, I want to please God. But it might look good. And people might compliment you. Say, man, you sure submitted to your pastor vision, your apostle vision. And they might want to pat you on the back. But that's not the goal. You ain't concerned with a pat on the back. You're not concerned about these little accolades people be throwing at you. Because that just wash off you like water on a duck back. You sure sing good. And you sure stick with the apostle vision. And but the thing is, you're not concerned about that. You just want to please God. Now, I call that heart submission. That can't be fake. That can't be built up into pride. You see? That's from the heart. You see? And that's what God sees. And guess what? That was God's reward. You see? Now, watch this now. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 21:28. And we're going to make it back to Saul, but I'm taking a little detour here because Jesus asked the same question. Remember I gave you that term, what do God prefer? Hold on to that thought because I'm going to use that term again over here. Matthew 21 and 28. Look what it says. Now Jesus started off with a question. You see what it says? But what thank ye? He's trying to see what you feel in here. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. He even put sir on the end. I go, sir. That sounds like submission, ain't it? That sounds like he's ready to go with this thing. That sound like to me that boy, I ain't got to worry about that boy is just so connected with me. The other one told me no, but this one didn't even talk back to me. He just said, yes, sir, I'm going. Sound good. Almost convinced his apostle. I mean, almost convinced his father. It sounds convincing. But the irony part, but the thing is, he didn't go. He said it with his mouth, but his action wouldn't follow up on this. Uh-oh. How many times we committed to something and didn't follow through? We might not just blatantly not follow through, but we let some little excuse. Something came up. I would have been there, but I bought a piece of land. I had to go check it out. I would have been there, but I got a new wife, and I had to go check her out. You know Jesus talking about these things? I would have been there, but these little excuses come through, and it's just like saying, yes, sir, but you went not. Didn't follow through with the apostle order. Some little thing got in the way and canceled your plans to go. And I heard a word that Pastor gave us years ago. He says, I'm trying to bring it back up about excuses. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. And that stuck with me. That stuck with me. Because when he tells me something, I just take it like God telling it to me. What you doing? If you call me, what you doing? He call me on a Saturday. What you need me to be doing? You know what that mean? I'm canceling everything I got to see what you need. Well, I was going to go to this little dinner party that my sister had. I'm trying to make a little excuse. I was going to my the baby shower, and you're trying to get out of it all you can, and hope he said, well, that's all right, I'll get somebody else. No, don't even bring it up. Say, I ain't doing nothing I can't change. That's submission. That's obedience. You see it? But you know that's another level that God is calling us to go to another level of submission? That's not fake. That's real. And do you know God blesses that 10 times over? Yeah. But we just try to seize that moment. Man, you can get 1,000 moments like that. You might not want to be at that baby shower, no way. You might went there and somebody hurt your feelings and embarrassed you, and you had a falling out. I'm just adding these little things because sometimes we go places we ain't supposed to go. And wonder why we run into things in these little mishaps. And then you say, I know I should have followed my first mind, yeah. My mind told me not to go. Amen. Now, you see what I got there? All right, about these decisions making. All right, now here's one more. Let's go to Samuel 15:14. Now, remember, Saul was supposed to slay the Amalekites, utterly destroy everything that they had. Am I right? Now, far as God was concerned, in his mind, you know, I'm going to tell you what really pleased me with my apostle. When he gave me an assignment, and he can scratch that assignment off his list, he ain't got to think about it no more. He can go on to something else. But when he got to come back, because I didn't do this thing right, it hurt me because that's not my desire. Because I want to do it right the first time. I don't want him to have to stop doing what he's doing to come back and deal with this thing that I should have took care of the first time. I don't like it. And it's not my desire to do that. But what we're dealing with here is that when God told Samuel to tell Saul to slay the Amalekite, God's intention was to be a closed deal. Never have to even deal with that. That would have been history in God's book. But now God had to come back, go find Samuel, and tell Samuel, go find Saul, and now we got to correct this thing. That don't feel too good. It don't feel too good. Now look, let's look at Samuel here in the 14th verse. You in the 14th verse? But Saul said, I perform the work somewhere in the scripture. I perform the orders of the Lord. I have performed what God would told me to do. That was, Saul thought he did that. But here what Samuel asked him. Look what Samuel said. Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? If you did it, I shouldn't be hearing nothing. I shouldn't be hearing no cows, no sheep, because this is supposed to be annihilated. That tells me you didn't do what God told you to do. I don't care how you try to explain it away. Some people try to explain everything away. God don't want an explanation now. God wants his will done. God ain't got time for no explanation. And see, I've been around apostles. Apostles ain't got time for you to try to explain nothing. He's too busy trying to do what God said to do. I mean, he need to go on and do something else that keep him free up. That's my desire. Do I hear it all the time? No. But my desire is to he be freed up. Well, he had to keep dealing with this with something over and over again that I dropped the ball on. I don't want to be on my watch. I don't want the ball dropped on my watch. You don't want the ball dropped on your watch. No, carry out what we're supposed to do. You understand what I'm trying to say? Am I fussing? No. No. This is to bring us to what apostle is calling us to. Are you see it? Now watch this now. Watch this. What mean is bleeding of the sheep in my ear? Now listen at this statement. God gives orders to his leaders. He gives orders through apostles. And those orders are supposed to be carried out, and we shouldn't even have to go back and deal with that again. We got a lot of leaders in the church. If God gives a leader an assignment, apostles expect that to be done with. You shouldn't even have to go back and shouldn't even have to ask you, did you take care of that? That shouldn't even be a question. That should be number one priority on your list, on the top of your agenda, to carry out what my apostle told me to do. That's God's order. See, we get the man mixed up with the order, with God. When an apostle gives an order, that's God giving an order. And sometimes we look at the man and don't think that's God. We just think that's some idea he just come up with. No, that's something he heard God want to do. And something he's trying to fulfill that he see God trying to get into this earth for us. And so our job is to fulfill it, to carry it out. And whatever it takes, you know, that's the word he gives me sometimes. Whatever it takes, get it done. Whatever it takes. And he don't expect to come back and check on every 2 days to see, are you doing it? No, that's not his job. I was John Paul to take that assignment and run with it. The scripture talks about take the vision and run with it. Take that assignment and run with it. Don't even look back. Don't even wait for no pat on the back. Don't even wait till you tell you good job. You might not tell you good job. Sometimes waiting for a little. Did I do it right? No, you make this show you did it right. When you know you did it right, you know you did it right. All right? Now watch this. God give all to his leaders, and listen to this. These are divine orders. Everybody say divine orders. Now look. Now listen what Samuel would really tell Saul. He was really telling Saul was, who authorized you to change God's orders? Wow. I say, wow, that's strong. He really was telling Saul, who gave you the authorization to change what God said? Now, that had to sink down. That had to sink down. Sometimes, you know, we give an assignment in the church, and all of a sudden we see another little way we could do it. But that's not the way you were told to do it. And then we add our little orders with that order. And my question is, who authorized you to change that order? Who authorized you to do it that way that you did it when the pastor may have wanted it done a certain way? And you did it your way. When your pastor might want you to do it a certain way. And you decide, oh, this is a better way. He might not want your better way. He might want a certain way. Everybody say a certain way.
Certain way.
Now I'm telling the truth. Did you see it? How we can error, how the enemy can take us off. One little degree. I learned this. Geometry taught me one thing. The short difference between two points of the straight line. Everything else, I just lost it. But I find out, if you get off one degree and don't make changes, you're going to end up way off course somewhere. So sometimes you think you're making a little tweaking something. You're tweaking something because I want to make it better. No, you don't want trying to make it better unless you authorize, unless you tell you, unless you give it authorization to make it better. But if you got a certain way you want to do it, you got to stick with that. Sometimes people go to tweaking stuff without authorization. The tweak might look good in your eyes, but the Lord weigh what? The Spirit. I know the truth. Why just now? So who authorized you to change God's order? Now, I'm going to tell you what Samuel said. Samuel trying to blame it on the people. Well, Lord, come up with these excuses. The people took him for the sacrifice. Let's find it. Look at that 20th verse. And Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone by the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekite. He didn't do what God told him to do. But the people. Don't let people get between you and doing what God said do. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, this word coming up in a little bit, this word rebellion. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? The Lord put obedience above sacrifice and burnt offering. He put obedience first. He put obedience above all that. God said, I don't care about sacrifice right now. You know why I say right now? Well, I'm concerned right now if you obey my orders. And you didn't. And God didn't play. Because it was a serious matter to God. This probably changed the whole course of God's plan now. Now God got to go back and try to do this another way. God got to use somebody else to go back and correct what Saul should have did the first time. That changed God's timing on something. Sometimes when you do that, you change your God's timing on what he want to do for you. Sometimes you set things back a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Sometimes you wonder why you're still waiting. I've been waiting for a long time. And sometimes you find out, if you search back, you find out you missed it somewhere where the Lord told you to do something a certain way, and you did it your own way. I'm telling the whole truth. So God wasn't concerned about sacrifice right then. He was concerned about Saul following his orders. So who told you to change God's orders? In Leviticus, Aaron's two sons did that. God called that strange fire and slew them right there before the altar. Fire, burn them right at the altar. You know what strange fire is? Doing something God didn't instruct you to do. They thought they could do what Aaron and them did. But God said, you're not authorized to do this. Who told you could do this? Who told you? Sometimes people come to a church and think they could just do anything. No, there's orders. Apostle had orders at Worldwide Christian Center. There's order, he said, down by God that he orchestrated, that God orchestrated. You see it? And that's why God had blessed his ministry, this ministry so much. Because apostle going to obey God, whether you like it or not. I'll tell Brother Larry something apostle told me years ago. He said, Ronald, expect anything from anybody, anytime. He said, even from you. I said, whoa, yeah. No, well, you expect anything from me to do something crazy, but I ain't planning on doing nothing crazy. You ain't planning on doing nothing crazy. Because people just do things. And you don't expect it out of them. Boy, I never thought they would do that. And he helped me because it would mess with my head. So and so did what? Expect anything out of anybody, anytime, even you. That even you kind of put a little weight on, even me. Because sometimes you think you're above all that. No, nobody above that. It keeps you humble. It keeps you submissive. Yeah. Order is important. God's order is important. Order in the church. There should be some solemn times in the church. And see, sometimes when the apostle got to correct something, boy, you know, sometimes, you know, people think, they go to think, oh, boy, you shouldn't do that. No, that's the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost put order. And that would bless his world life so much. Because the apostle sees something, he deal with it right. There, then and there. Amen. And I'm so thankful for my apostle. If you're thankful for your apostle, lift your hands and thank God. Say, Lord, I'm thankful for my apostle. One word from him, from God, can change your whole life. I'm almost through. And why just now? Why this? God gave orders to his leaders, right? Okay, now, I got one more I want you to see. Now, go over to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. And we're going to see why Jesus was so upset here. Matthew 21 and 12. You see it? And Jesus, you see it? And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now go down a little bit. In the 23rd verse. These people say this because of what Jesus did or said in the 12th verse. and the 13th verse. And when, you see it? And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou do these things? Who gave thee this authority? You see it? Sometimes people do things, say things, and in the religious world will know where this authority come from. Who gave this authority? Jesus said, I do nothing unless I get instruction from my Father. I don't say nothing unless I hear my Father say it. So Jesus was instructed to say and do. You see it? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, which, if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do this thing. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves. If we say from heaven, he would then tell unto us, why did ye not believe him? But we should say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Well, the point I want to show you is this. Jesus went in and trashed the stuff in the temple, and he cast out them that sold dove and everything, because he wants to know who changed God's orders. This is not what God ordered here. Who changed this? You see it? And if Jesus was upset, guess who else was upset? God was upset. If Jesus got angry in the temple, guess who else was angry in the temple? God was angry. Jesus represented God, his Father. And he won't know who changed his order right here. This is not what God prescribed. This is not what God set up from the beginning. You see it? Remember when he got to talk about marriage in the beginning? You know, how God, but Adam and Eve, he won't know who, and they were talking about divorce and remarriage. Who changed his order? It was not so from the beginning, he said. He won't know who changed this stuff. No, religion and tradition came in and altered as almost what Saul did. Along the same line. They changed God's orders without authority to fit them. They changed the law to fit them so they can don't do what I do, but do what I say do type of relationship. They had the law to fit their order. They had the law to fit their life. Who changed this? Are you seeing what I'm so there are two types of submission. That's a submission that pleases men and stop right there. But you really want to make it look like you're pleasing God. That's the Pharisaic submission. They want to look good before men and hope God get a little pleasure in it somewhere down the line. But that's a submission that don't care what men say. And that's an obedience that don't care what men say, no matter what men think. And that submission pleases God at all costs. Say this with me. I'm going to please God at all costs. Amen. 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 I'm done. Thank you, Father.